heart at Hillside is to create an experience where your faith is lifted and God can breathe life into your soul. Our hope is that today's sermon will encourage you, equip you, and empower you to live the life that God created for you. We're excited to open God's Word together and our faith to be strengthened. Welcome to Hillside.
That's right. Well, I am excited to continue our series, One-Liners. Look, I don't want to exhaust you with too much clapping, but we do want to give a shout out to those taken in today online. Let's let them feel the love, make them feel warm and welcome. And we're excited to come into your home or on your drive safely, if that's how it is. I had somebody comment last week, let us know where you're watching from, but they were enjoying vacation in Florida. And they're just like, man, we're on our way up. And I'm like, you were driving, were you? You know, that was my thought. Like, you know, drive safely if you're taking church in, drive safely. Well, we're in a series called One-Liners. And how many of you know there is nothing better than a good fitting one-liner? It can just jog your memory, or some of us, we have inside jokes. I know Kelly and I, you won't know them, and I won't share them, but we've got little one-liners or one word that we just burst out laughing. I thought today I would get our mind jogging in this direction by using some famous one-liners from movies. And so if you're taking it in online, you're going to have to comment below. Go ahead, you can answer online, but I want us, just feel comfortable, y'all. Take a deep breath, get comfortable. I want to allow you the freedom to blurt out the name of the movie you think it is as I say the quote. And here's the thing. We're like Planet Fitness. It's a judgment-free zone. So if you hear a quote and you're like, is this a trap? Does he think I've watched this movie? You know, that's not my goal, right? We're just going to have some fun. So don't worry about the rating on the movie. Just blurt it out and it's judgment-free. Okay. We're going to start off. This is going to be multiple generational, all right? So you teenagers, you may not have heard any of these, but we'll trickle in a few you probably know. We're going to start easy. I've got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. All right, good. I'll be back. All right. These are easy. Y'all don't, you sounding judgy to me. Y'all like, come on, test us. Here's looking at you, kid. Okay, yeah. Whoa, people hesitant. Yeah, Casablanca, okay. You complete me. All right. Some of you living on the edge, how about this one? I see dead people. All right. Parents, I'm going to hook you up. Just keep swimming. All right, you're welcome. Houston, we have a problem. All right. Luke, I am your father. Okay, I was going to say, all right. Last but not least, man, freedom. Braveheart, okay. And women, but Braveheart is, it's cross-gender. It's a fantastic one. All right, okay, we're warmed up. You ready? Today's one-liner is, it's probably one you've heard. I didn't create this in any way, actually. With all of these, we can see the truth behind Scripture. But today's one-liner is a bit of a warning. All right? It's a bit of a warning. It's going to stir us a little bit. I'm going to have some fun as well. We'll encourage you. We'll equip you. But it's a bit of a warning. And this is one of my pastor's favorites. So my pastor, who is in Destin, Florida, Pastor Steve at Destiny Worship Center, this was one I swear it came up weekly. Somewhere I was hearing him tell somebody this. And not only was it in church life, I also grew up with this one, especially in my teenage years. And here it is. If you're taking notes, write this down. Small foxes spoil the vine. Some of you have no church background. You're like, it just got crazy in here. What does that even mean? Here, let me... Small foxes spoil the vine. It actually comes out of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. And here's what Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 15 says. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 15. If you've heard that one liner before, if it's resonated with you, now you know. There's a passage behind it. There's a passage that you can point to. Parents, now you know, hey, you're equipped to quote a verse. And it is the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Small foxes spoil the vine. When we think about life, there are just some situations, there are just some consequences that we experience where the consequence from our judgment seems incredibly disproportionate to the wrong that was done. There are just some moments we thought it was something small, we thought it was something minimal, we didn't think anybody was watching, we had no idea anybody knew, but somehow there was a small fox that spoiled the vineyard. Now you and I both know, we know what it's like to have a big fox all up in the vineyard. Like we know, we're all common sense, we're self-aware, we're understanding. Sometimes they're in our places of employment, where we work, in our family, in our family gatherings, in our community, sometimes even in our church. We get when a big thing is done, the damage that it can cause. But if we're not careful, we look through that lens through every arena of life. And it also is wise to consider the small foxes. It's also wise for us to take a moment and to push pause and just kind of reflect and to think and to prayerfully consider, are there little foxes that are spoiling the vineyard of life? And you can call it, if you will, the vineyard of life, the future of our life. Are there little things that we're doing right now that if we speed that up by 5 years, if we speed that up by 10 years, it may only be an inch, but in 5 years, we could be about 5 miles in the wrong direction. Small can actually land up having far more significance than we realize. 1 inch, think on this, think on latitude. 1 inch, if we were to go from Seattle, say we're traveling to New York City on the other side, 1 inch difference in latitude across the United States, you're going to land up in totally separate sides of the country. Even though you're one inch off. But if you carry that through far enough along, you land up missing. Think on, in a positive light, some of you like Starbucks. Think about a small incremental investment of that Starbucks a day in a 403B or an investment fund. How many of you know after 30 years, a small little teeny Starbucks has now accrued to become something significant? One minor, small decision can oftentimes land up carrying a heavier weight. And there's nothing I think more that the enemy delights in is to see the life and a follower of Jesus, their witness ruined, their relationships broken, and their own spiritual walk diminishing because of a small fox. So my pastor would always come alongside and he would say, hey, oh, you guys know it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. And whether it had to do with the subject of excellence or the subject of being preparedness or the subject of presenting oneself, man, he was always keeping us on our toes and our teams on our toes. And he would say, listen, the one small fox that can spoil the vine. Come on, Kelly's going to resonate with what I'm about to say. She knows what it's like for her husband to be just one pitch off on a worship song as we're driving down the road. She will admit that it can ruin the whole atmosphere in the song. And there is nothing she will re-coach our kids on than pitch perfection. Man, I remember, our worship team's like, amen, amen. I remember early on where our little girl, you know, was just young, and Kelly was outside of the room, and I was rocking our daughter, singing Jesus Loves Me. And y'all, here I am. Come on, man, you know you had this thought. you're rocking your daughter, you're spending time, you're singing, and it's Jesus Loves Me, and you're seeing, we got the eye of my spouse. I'm like, major brownie point. She's going to think I'm the best. I go put our daughter down and then do the whole like creep out of the room. No, there was no, that was so sweet. It was, Lord, Paul, you changed keys 5 different times. And that is a children's lullaby. I'm telling you, just like this parallel. You may not know it. You may not see it. But sometimes the damage is disproportionate from the crime that was committed. Amen, men who sing off pitch. Okay, well, I want us, listen, this can be a wide lens of life. So maybe for you, that's all you needed to hear. Maybe you're already thinking of an area, thinking of arena of life. You don't need me to prime the pump, and that's great. But I do. Beyond anything else, I want you to take, as the past Sundays have been, take a moment with the Holy Spirit this week. He's a far better, let me say it loud and clear, the Holy Spirit is a far better teacher than I am. Can I say that? The Holy Spirit is a far better communicator than I am. The Holy Spirit has precisely what you need to hear. I can only limit this to 3 thoughts. Holy Spirit, He can limit it to 3 million thoughts. He's got you covered. I want to encourage you, when you hear a verse like the small foxes spoil the vine, I want to nudge you. Spend time with Jesus this week. There is no shame before the love of God. And when you come to Him and are authentic, you're genuine, you're honest, you take a moment and say, Lord, I've just heard this on Sunday. Is there any area, any arena you want to speak to? Your servant is listening. When you position yourself like that, I tell you, God will speak. Don't be surprised if He uses your spouse or your friends or your family, but He will be faithful to speak. I want to take a moment, though, and zone us in on 3 distinct areas that can serve, I believe, as a good warning. So I want to talk about in each one of these are little foxes. Little foxes that if you get a picture of a vineyard, vineyards like farming take a lot of patience, but they also take a lot of effort and energy. You can't just plant your seeds and fingers crossed hope for the best. That is not how you farm, from what I've heard. I thought you could. Evidently, you can't. You have to be on it and on it, daily checking, daily watering, daily feeding, daily taking time, pruning, checking things, pulling up weeds. It's the similar way for our soul. And so for us, our time together, I want to encourage you in each one of these areas just to reflect, just to take it in, not to elbow, but to receive, okay? These will be tempted maybe to elbow or send the video clip to a friend or a neighbor or a teen. Do that. But pause and ask the Lord, speak, I'm listening. So, a little fox, when we think of this, a little fox can cause a whole lot of damage. The first fox we want to talk about is a little fox called laziness. Y'all, I'm about to preach. No, not to you, to those online. I'm just kidding, not to those online. I'm totally teasing. You're in your pajamas, you haven't showered yet. I'm not judging. It's a judgment-free zone. No, I really am just kidding. If you're visiting for the first time, I want to say thank you. Stay with us. Yeah. A little laziness. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, it says this, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. It's not a whole lot of sleep or a whole lot of slumber. It's the little foxes or the little fox of laziness that can be a deterrent from you stepping in to all that God has for you. There is so much potential inside of you. There is so much promise inside of you. God has given you gifts. He's given you abilities. He's given you dreams. And sometimes, and I'll even say in moments in my life, I've noticed that the gap between what I heard and it coming to fruition is just a little bit of laziness. And I got to quickly capture it. I'm a big proponent of rest. In fact, one of the pillars of my life is a term called Sabbath. It's a promise from God. We don't live by 9 commandments. We live by the 10 commandments. of God. And the fourth one is a Sabbath. I believe that a day, a full day of rest is critical for your life. But laziness, if we're not careful, as Solomon's writing to his people and to the next generations within the kingdom, he would say, just be cautious, be careful. And here's where I want to take this thought. It's not laziness in the wrong areas or the unhelpful areas. It's laziness in the critical areas of life. Because I know several people who could work 80 hours a week and not think twice about it. I know several people who'd be satisfied with $250,000, because that's their number one priority. But they become lazy in the arena of their marriage, lazy in the arena of their parenting, lazy in the arena of their spiritual walk. And as my pastor used to tell me, not me, people near me, what good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? There's a passage in here about that. We live in a culture that hates laziness when it has to do specifically within the financial arena. And Proverbs, in this verse, Solomon is kicking that around a bit. Contextually speaking, he's saying, yo, don't be lazy. He's saying, be worth your wages. But I want to encourage you. I kind of want to nudge you a little bit. I want to warn you. What good would it have been to have been busy, overproductive, and successful, and yet lazy in the area that mattered most? So most people wouldn't say, man, I'm lazy. But can I tell you, be careful. My those closest to me in years gone by, they would say, man, the biggest fight is the fight against prayerlessness. Don't become prayerless. I thank God for yesterday, two significant prayer experiences in D.C. And you know why I loved seeing it so much and why it was resonating with me so much? Because I was reminded again, we're not a nation that is prayerless. We've not forgotten God. We're not just winging it, hoping for the best, but we are on our knees seeking God's face. We understand that our nation needs God. We don't want to grow lazy. You don't want to grow. Listen. You don't want to just have a great economy and have left God behind. You don't want to just have a great economy. You don't want to just have great policy and have left God behind. No. You want to be prayerful. A little laziness in the wrong area can reap a harvest neither of us would intend. Neither of us would want. And it's subtle, y'all. It sneaks up, doesn't it? Come on. Nobody's going to admit. We're going to admit other foxes. We ain't going to admit lazy foxes. But I was talking with my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law heads up organization, a parts plant in Florida. He's in Alabama, and he's the head over HR. And we went down to visit briefly before they shut down the state and you could still travel, in the thick of things. We went to visit some family in Alabama. And we were kicking around, we were just chatting one evening. And he said the tension he has run into is their plant shut down. But then the government stepped in with unemployment, which is good. I mean, I'm grateful for what the government did. The federal government, they stepped in with unemployment, and then they stepped in with that bonus on top of the unemployment. So he said, for our plant, that lasted 2 weeks. He said, for 2 months, I've been struggling to get people to come back to work. Because left to their own devices, I would be tempted in that way as well. Left to their own devices, we love free money without the work. And so he was saying, man, I'm stuck in this tension. And here's what I'm saying. Don't just see it in the realm of financial. Many people want the blessings of God, but they want to live a lazy spirituality. I seek God when a need arises. And then they wonder, well, why can't I hear God's voice? Well, hearing God's voice is like dating somebody. I mean, you don't date once. Well, maybe some of y'all do. You don't date once and get married. You get to know them. You call on them. You text in them. You're FaceTiming them. You're going over at unannounced hours, climbing up, the side of the house, knocking on their door, window. We're doing whatever it takes. Because why? Because you're longing to know them. You weren't lazy about that relationship. So my encouragement for you, just shake it off. God is so wanting to speak to you. God is so wanting to spend time with you. God longs for you just to sit, not to grab a Bible plan, just to sit and talk about the day. He wants to bless you. And here's the biggest blessing is your his presence, not your presence, his presence. Let's not let the little fox of laziness reap a harvest in our life. Critical areas, I shared spiritual life. We want to guard against apathy, but our personal affairs as well. Man, excellence of witness in the workplace. Don't think nobody is watching cutting corners. Don't think nobody is watching letting yourself off the hook, but holding off everyone else accountable. No, we don't want to get lazy. Personal affairs. I wrote down the big three. Young adults, amen. Show up on time. Pay your bills. Be a person of your word. My time here is done. No. Those under your care. Can I tell you, don't be lazy with those under your care. It's so tempting in culture today to be consumed with oneself. I thank God for parents who weren't lazy about us. In fact, they were the opposite direction. Somebody? Anybody have intense parents, right? You're like, can you take a day off? Just a little lazy, Mom. Just a little. No, they were on it. But can I tell you? God shows up. God meets you where you are. Don't let a little bit of laziness. Let me speak to some of you parents who are in it, in the thick of it. It's going to be real easy to grow weary. It's going to be really easy to grow tired. I want to encourage you. There is a harvest waiting for you. Some of you parents right now, your children may be in a fog. Can I tell you, every time you woke your child up, you got their shoes on their feet, you got the dress on their body, and you took them, you threw the Bible at their way because of Bible Bookstore, and you made them go to church. Can I tell you, don't worry about where they may be right now. Trust the seed that was planted. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. You're like, man, you're the pastor. You never think about it. Let me introduce you to my girls after service, okay? I'm going to let you know. Sometimes I think about it. Lord, have mercy. I'll drive by some big churches on my way in. I'm like, man, what time their kid care open? I'm kidding. I don't think that. Some of you never come back. No, I'm teasing. I'm kidding. A little laziness, though, can make a big difference. Just be warned. Just be cautious on that. A second area, we'll move quickly on these next two. A little folly. A little folly. Some of you right now, you're bringing up some of those folly moments of the past. A little folly. Come on. If you ever have a little folly moment, you didn't know anybody would know, anybody would be able to trace what happened back to you, but they did. A little folly can make a big difference. It can have disproportionate damage to the crime, so to speak, that is committed. And the scripture warns us against that. Ecclesiastes 10:1. This is one of the more visual ones, okay? I like to get us prepared as lunch is on the way. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. I've seen some people's reputation crumble, not because of a big fox, but a little fox of folly. I don't say that in a judgmental way. I really don't. But I've seen how some people's course of direction can change, not because of a major epiphany, but just a simple seed of folly. My parents raised me with a good old-fashioned curfew, 8 p.m. Just kidding. That wasn't that bad. I just thought I'd follow up how extreme. No, 11 p.m. and then midnight in high school. Don't know what they were thinking with that one. However, it was followed up with, ain't nothing good happening after midnight. Except for folly, somebody. And a little folly. Little folly can be a big difference. One text, one social media post can ruin a reputation. One joke can ruin the witness to the people around us. And here's what I do. Here's what I do. I try to defend my folly. Come off it. It's no big deal. It's just a little thing. And it's subtle, but we can get that way in our walk with God and in our walk with others. Don't realize the damage that's being done. And we hold them responsible and accountable with phrases like, you're blowing it out of proportion. And so we create a tension by trying to cover a little moment of folly. I'm not trying to create eggshells for you. I really mean this. We're in one-liner series. I mean, how fun can it get, right? I know. Well, this is important. Small foxes, I just, again, want you to be considering. I want you to be thinking about it. Small foxes spoil the vineyard. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He does. And you just sometimes you can't forecast it. You can't pick it apart, and you can't dissect it, and you can't say, well, I did this, therefore it equals this. Many times, it's disproportionate damage. And we'd be wise, right? That's why we encourage a daily time with Jesus, a daily time with God, a daily time in his presence to fill up our cup, but also to lay our life before him and to say, God, is there anything that's become a habit? It's become a thought, a pattern, a belief system, a stronghold. Is there anything before you? If so, highlight it. Let me repent of it and let me move forward. So often culture, their approach to God is my way, God, or you're out. Do this by my standard, God, or I'm out. Do this by my convenience, God, or I'm out. And God is saying, I've got the keys to the abundant life. Lean into my presence. Lean into my words. Take them seriously. Take them sincerely. And I thank God for those overbearing youth leaders in my teenage years. I thank God for overbearing elders at the church. I thank God for prayer team members who are praying and then they get a little prophetic something. They start telling me my business. What happens in those moments? Anything that was in the darkness, whoop, it's out in the light. Safe, healthy. But can I tell you, it made all the difference in my life because it showed me how those that are in the light walk in the light. It's an encouragement for us, an encouragement. Y'all looking hungry. It's an encouragement. The little foxes. Third, trekking right into it, a little fox of sin. This is a big one. A little fox of sin. I used to tell people that sin, it shows itself as just wanting to be a manager. You know, a manager just wants to clock in with, just wants to leave, just wants to kind of take control. But it just shows itself like, hey, I'll leave you alone. But what they don't realize, it doesn't just come as a manager. It wants to become the owner of the whole complex. It wants to own every area. We call these, some of you would be familiar with this term, we call these the open door. Just is there an open door of one's life? Is there an open door? Is there an open door? It's not, is there, you know, if there's a little sin, God doesn't love you? Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? That's why God came. But here's why God came. He breaks the chains of the sin cycles of life. He brings healing. He brings wholeness. He brings refreshing. And can I tell you, sin is subtle. It takes all sorts of variations. That's why, again, it's so critical that we're spending time with God, that we're reading his word, that we're understanding, Lord, you set forth the standard for my life. Not me and adjust, but here's me. I'm going to adjust. I'm going to come up. I'm going to lean in. I'm going to step into what you have called in every arena of life. We justify. Come on, you ever made that statement? It's just how I'm wired. My dad was a sinner, and his dad was a sinner, and everybody before him was a sinner, and scripture's like, we know. But sin cycles are broken under the blood of Jesus. Just because it's a family line doesn't mean it's your heritage. You can step in as a new creation. But that doesn't just happen casually. It doesn't happen by just showing up on a Sunday hoping for the best. It happens by intentionally. You keep showing up day in, day out, day in, day out, drawing near to God, reading his word, waiting on his presence, being still before him and letting highlight every area of your life. Romans 14, verse 7, it says, for none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. Part of the implication of that particular verse is when you think your sin is only solo, think again. Our sin always affects those around us. The vineyard of our family, the vineyard of our friendships, the vineyard of the arena of life. Come on, if you're tracking with me, yeah, nod your head. Yeah. Okay, I got one. All right, but here's the key. We've got to be careful. Sin never presents itself as a large fox. It's always just a little subtle way that it begins to implicate our lives. So we're going to end on an up. I'm going to end with an encouragement for your faith. I talked about some little foxes and the damage that they can do. Well, I do want to pause and conclude with what a little faith can do. Jesus, time and time again, talked about the kingdom of God is made up of little acts of faith, little seeds of faith that are planted and that are watered and that are given space to breathe, and how it can transform the world around them. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, it says, he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. A little yeast works its way all through the dough. Can I tell you, part of the transforming qualities of following God are just that. A little of his truth begins to unravel, if you will, and work its way through the kingdom. And it changes your life and the lives of those around you. I remember a youth pastor guru here in the U.S. had the privilege of sitting at a round table with him and several other youth pastors. This was a long time ago, but he had, at one point in history, in the 80s and early 90s, he had the largest youth group in the United States. And so we just kind of sitting there and taking in his wisdom. And he said, there was a big lesson, though, that I had to learn. I had the largest youth group. Largest youth group. We're like, okay. He said, but I couldn't even speak to my own daughters. He had two teenage daughters. He said, you would not consider me lazy. He would say, you would not consider me unfocused. He said, I was working 80 plus hours a week. He said, but I had no relationship with my girls. And they were getting ready. They were just a few years away from graduation. But he said, a little bit of truth transformed my whole family. And he said, for him, he had to take one step. Two-step. First step for him was he just had to start relationship again. And so he says, it's a little strange when you haven't been building the relationship to step in during a teenage daughter's teenage years. He said, you want to talk about awkward? I had awkward. He's like, we would go to the park and we'd grab milkshakes. And he's like, I would sit there and she would sit there and we'd just drink our milkshakes and swing. And he's like, I didn't know what to talk about. I had no idea. But he said, here's what I knew. I would just show up. We'd go on little dates as a dad, and the Lord restored what the enemy had stolen. And can I tell you today, I know we focused on little foxes. Can I tell you today, there's a redeeming quality when we approach the throne of grace, when we approach the goodness of God, when we begin to recognize in our own life just how loved, forgiven, and hope-filled God is, that a little seed of His word, His ways, that if we hold on to it and we water it, I want to encourage you, don't be surprised a few weeks down the line, a few months down the line, a few years down the line, if that faith has grown into a huge tree, whereas Jesus would say the birds will come to make their nest. Most of us spend our days desiring the big tree. God, give me that kind of faith. And we fail to realize that behind the scenes, it started small, but it was faithful and it was consistent. I want to encourage you today, a little faith in your life can make the world a difference. A little faith, a little decision, not having all the answers, but a little moment saying, man, I need Jesus. I need to turn my ways over to Him. I've been following Him, but I really need to give Him this arena of my life. I'm telling you, surrender is the sweet life. Surrender is the sweet life. Maybe there's an area in your finances, man, you just need to surrender is the sweet life God's called for you to live. Maybe today you're like, man, could God ever love me? Let me tell you, He does and He can. And surrendering of your future to Him is the sweet life. It's not the big foxes, it's the little moments, these little foxes. And just like the little foxes can do disproportionate damage to our lives, a little faith, I think many of us would attest, has a disproportionate positive effect on our life. That as we seek God, there are miracles. As we pray and trust Him, there are open doors. As we call on the name of Jesus, healing comes. Seems so small, seems so insignificant, but it has disproportionate blessings in our future. Come on, let's close our time together. Father, we thank You again for Your goodness. We thank You again for Your love. Lord, I declare again Your blessing over Your people. I thank You for this time in Your presence, this time of worship that we've had, this time of prayer. God, this time of just diving into Your word and discovering Your ways. Thank You time and time again, Lord, for Your faithfulness in our lives. And Holy Spirit, as I said at the beginning, I pray that You would search our heart and see if there be any offensive way in it. Identify any foxes, God, and give us the keys to freedom in the name of Jesus. And as we continue in prayer, I want to give you an opportunity. You could be born again today. You can step into the family of God by choosing to follow Him. I'll let you know that God loves you from the foundations of the earth. He has had you on His mind. You're not an accident. And He wants to call you into His family. I'm not asking you to become a member of the church. Not asking you to sign on any dotted line. I'm asking you to surrender to Jesus. He says, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The restless soul needs the Savior. There's rest no other way and in no other name. I'm going to give you that opportunity. Say this with me. And enter into relationship with God. Heavenly Father, I need Your love. I need Your grace. Forgive me of my past. I admit that I'm a sinner that is in need of the mercy of heaven. And Jesus, I thank You for Your death on the cross. I thank You that it's in Your name I am saved. Thank You for forgiving me of my past. I give You my present, and I trust You with my future. I love You, God. Fill me with Your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Come on, let's celebrate anyone making that decision today. I want to invite you, those present with us, if you made that decision, I want to encourage you. You'll see to my right and to my left our prayer team. Come up, please, come up after service. Talk with them. Let them pray for you. Let them give you some next steps to encourage you in your relationship with God. Those online, I want to invite you, leave a comment or send us a private message. We want to put some things in your hands.